Hi everyone. I just want to give a little shout out that Business Barn Raising is now open for the year. This time around, we are really focusing on helping people who have been interested in incorporating hypnotherapy into their practice get started. And the most important things to get started really are focusing on your practice location, getting all the systems in place that you are going to need to provide services. Those are things like insurance and contracts. And finally, finding the clients that you need to run your practice. And in Business Barn Raising, we cover all of these areas, both in lesson content format as well as supported coaching calls. So if you think this is something that might be helpful to you, be sure to reach out and get signed up. We will be starting in June.
Welcome to Animals and Aquatics. I'm your co-host, Ryan.
And I'm Gina.
And today we're going to talk a little bit about an analogy that we had to describe a non-conventional occupational therapy or any type of therapy practice, really, because we're seeing more PTs and SLPs entering into specifically nature-based practices. And Gina and I were talking, and we were discussing about how a non-conventional practice is set up using the analogy of a tree. And we were discussing it, and we were talking about, well, the roots, maybe the roots are like your business, but then we were thinking, and nobody decides, I'm going to get into business, and what do I want to do? I'm going to become a therapist. So if you're like us, you became therapists first and then decided for one reason or another to branch out and maybe go in a different direction.
Well, in our last episode, we were talking about stressors and how stress can bring us to growth. It's after going through challenges that we find we grow the most, and thinking about how therapists grow into a non-traditional setting or what brings them to some of these niches in animal-assisted therapy or aquatics, and figuring that that aspect of growth from a practitioner, maybe right out of school, maybe they've had that interest to actually working with clients in that area of practice. There's quite a number of steps of growth. And that's where that tree analogy really kind of came to us, and thinking about, well, yeah, those first steps, that the roots there of being the clinician is kind of where it all begins.
Yeah, so I know for me that even while I was in school, I think in the front of my mind, I was thinking that I was going to work in a conventional setting. And I actually initially envisioned myself working in geriatrics or potentially with veterans, because I'm a veteran myself. And I ended up working in pediatrics with you.
Yeah.
But I remember going through school, and we had to run interventions with our classmates. And I still remember running an outdoor intervention, taking my classmates out of the classroom and into a grassy and wooded area that was outside. And I remember the looks on their faces and how excited everyone was to be getting up and getting out of the classroom for a little bit. And we kind of felt like little kids again. And it ignited something in me that was still sticks to this day and is a big part of why I'm so passionate about the different types of settings that we use. I wouldn't say the different types of therapy, but working in the settings that we do, because they are so different. And, you know, I could make connections with things that I'm personally passionate about and things that helped me out as a child and looking at ways to maybe help kids do some of those things that they wouldn't otherwise be able to do. I've had a couple of clients I've taken fly fishing. I've in aquatics, I've used kayaking to work on things like reciprocal upper extremity movements and balance and postural stability. And to me, that's just, it's a lot more interesting and meaningful than working on a stability ball or some of the things that I think you would see in a more traditional setting.
Well, and I would say, from what I see with the occupational therapy assistant students that I work with, that initial interest in these non-traditional settings, every year I have students who complete a project on aquatic therapy or on animal assisted therapy, and a few brave students occasionally attempt a project on hippotherapy, but not too many do, knowing that that's kind of my specialty area. There's only a few brave students who attempt to do a project on that area, but a lot of our students come to the profession with an interest in working with animals, incorporating them into their sessions, or they find the aquatic therapy really interesting. And I've been trying to reach out to other educators and talk to more clinicians to find out what happens along the way if you have that initial interest or passion and don't end up working or incorporating that into your practice later on. And I think it's been really interesting to follow from our roots when there is an interest and a passion. We're becoming a clinician. We're getting the education. And I think we need to be really grounded in our OT roots to be a good clinician in a non-traditional setting. I think having a really good grounding in occupational therapy theory and interventions is so important before we step outside of the box and into our non-traditional areas, because then it's adding a whole nother layer of practice to that. So I think that initial strong roots is really important in our clinical foundations to begin with.
Yeah, and I think the other end of that is that passion that you have in those roots. There's the educational route, but we're also talking about the what kind of lights a fire in you. And for me, it wasn't being inside of a building working with any client from any population. And I would say that if you don't have that passion or you don't have that fire, that those roots are going to dry up, because especially when you get into the realm of starting up your own business and doing everything, it can be taxing. And so if you don't have those strong roots that are reinforcing why it is you're doing what you're doing, it's very easy to lose sight of that, and you're not going to grow much.
Well, I think part of that foundation then is then your specialized training. If you're going to be an OT that's incorporating hippotherapy, you're taking the American Hippotherapy Association Foundation Treatment Principles courses. If you are going into an area of nature-based therapy or animal-assisted therapy, you're getting other supports as you're reaching out. So that way you have mentors to call on, you have resources. That way you feel supported as you're stepping into that area of growth. And really, we grow from those foundations, and then we need to put some sort of structure together. And that's what we liken to sort of the trunk of the tree, or, as a sapling is starting to grow, it starts out fairly small. And that might just be taking a class of students outside, right? That might be kind of the sapling of your nature-based adventure, or bringing a therapy animal into your clinic one day a week. That might be the beginning of animal-assisted therapy for you. And then gradually as that grows, you might be growing that out to a situation like we are, where this is our full-time practice.
So I think there's ways that you can start to incorporate outdoor activities even in a more traditional setting. One of my fieldwork placements was at a sensory gym, and there was a couple of clients with visual motor challenges, and I noticed that inside the box it was all straight lines and there wasn't a lot of variation.
So we can find that a lot of clinicians start out small, and that's a great way to get those first steps in the direction of the area or the niche that you're really excited about. So it might be volunteering at a center, working with another OT who's incorporating hypnotherapy in their practice. It might be taking some kids outside at a sensory gym, so that way we can work on some visual motor and visual scanning skills in the natural environment. It might be incorporating a trip to the pool from the school, once during the semester, so that way you can see how your students react to the aquatic environment, but you're not necessarily jumping in with both feet, so to speak, until you really feel like you have a trunk to support you. You have all the foundation systems in place. And the more I see from clinicians who are getting started is that decision of when do you start implementing more systems in place? When do you bring in an EMR to help you manage the clients? When do you add in the email system? Like, when do you start to fortify or build out that trunk as you grow? So, from just that kind of experimenting with it, but you're still maybe within your traditional job setting, and then gradually you're starting to branch out, you're bringing maybe more clients into that non-traditional setting. You find that you're spending more time outside with clients than you are inside the clinic, and you know that you're going to go in the direction of a non-traditional practice. That doesn't always mean becoming a private practice owner. It might be an employee at a nature-based practice or at a center that's incorporating hypnotherapy, or at a rehab center that does have a pool and does aquatic therapy as part of it. And those are all steps along the path of growth. And as we get further along that path of growth, we do have to make decisions about how far are we going to go following our passion. Like, how much of our practice is that going to be? Is it going to be 2 nights a week after our school-based therapy job? Are we going to eventually look to make this our full-time gig? And when we hear from OT students, a lot of them, that's their eventual long-term goal, is that it can be their full-time practice. And I certainly have said this before, and I'll say it again, I don't feel like school prepares us as clinicians very well for making that happen. It prepares us pretty well for fitting inside the mold of a rehab center or a school, but it doesn't prepare us very well for following our own trail to what we believe occupational therapy can be. And that means really building in those systems so our trunk can withstand some of the stressors that we talked about in the last episode. And starting to put those things in place really is a step-by-step process. It's not something that has to be laid down all at once. If we think about the rings of a tree trunk, they're not all laid down at once. They're laid down one at a time, and each season changes. Some seasons there's a lot of growth, and some seasons there's much less growth.
Yeah, and we've definitely seen that where ebb and flow, where it's like things will seem like they're going really good and then it slows down a little bit and then it picks back up even more than it was before. And so it really can be a roller coaster ride, which is why I mentioned before about having those strong roots and having your passion as part of that root system with your clinical knowledge.
And when we get our systems in place and we really start to see that growth, and again, it can be somewhat cyclical or seasonal, since again, we are talking about nature-based therapy, animal-assisted therapy, and aquatics. There is a seasonality component to it. If your pool happens to be an outdoor pool, right, and you live anywhere that isn't the endless summer of Florida, there's a seasonality to your aquatic services. There's a seasonality to what working at the stable is like, and there's a seasonality to nature-based therapy, and feeling that ebb and flow and change is something that we kind of plan for in our growth patterns. And now that we've been doing it for longer, we're starting to be able to see the patterns and see those seasons come and go and know when to kind of plan for growth and know when we need to get our marketing materials out, so that way we're going to be reaching out to families when they're ready for signups or when they're thinking ahead to the next season. And by doing that, by really syncing up our patterns of growth with our own local community, that's when we get to see really the fruit of our labor. And for us, that's being able to serve clients in our community, to work in settings that we're really passionate about, to be able to customize our practice that suits both our professional and personal life.
And chase the things that interest us. I think that's probably encompassed in what you said, but I don't think that that can be undersold.
I think right now, if you talk to a lot of OTs, whether they've been in the field 20 years or they've been in the field for 3 years, burnout is a huge issue, and productivity demands or having a caseload of 65 school students is really tough. It's really tough on us as clinicians. We want to see things blossom, and if your caseload is ginormous or your productivity standards are so high that you can't provide care that you think is the quality that you've been trained and are passionate to do, it's really frustrating, and it's hard to hear clinicians who've been around for a long time who are leaving the profession for those reasons. But it also makes us reflect on the growth that we've had and being able to customize and tailor our sessions and the way we put our practice together to minimize our own risks of burnout and maximize our interest in the profession. And as we've kind of alluded to it at before, that sometimes our continuing education budget can get a little stretched. And, as we find things that we're really excited about, but that is growth. And that's what this episode is really all about, is growth from those teeny tiny beginnings of our roots as a student to getting that initial training that we need to grow those roots really strong, to stretching up as a sapling and getting some initial experiences out there, to the seasonality of growth as we build a really strong trunk to branch out maybe on our own, to seeing the fruits of those labors with our clients, with our community, and with ourselves as growing practitioners, as business owners, and being able to kind of bring that around and help other OTs navigate that path as well.
So I hope that brings a little bit of clarity as far as how we look at what we do and why we do what we do and how we view our practice.
So if you've enjoyed this episode today, we hope that you will go ahead and share it with another occupational therapist who maybe could benefit from some of the growth strategies that we talked about today. And thanks for listening.